The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. In the evening of that same day, the first day of the week, the doors were closed in the room where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. He said to them, "Peace be with you," and showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw the Lord, and he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so am I sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. For those whose sins you retain, they are retained." Thomas, called the twin, who was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. When the disciples said, "We have seen the Lord," he answered, "Unless I see the holes that the nails made in his hands, and can put my finger into the holes they made, and unless I can put my hand into his side, I refuse to believe." 8 days later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. The doors were closed, but Jesus came in and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he spoke to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look here at my hands. Give me your hand. Put it into my side. Doubt no longer, but believe." Thomas replied, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You believe because you can see me. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe." There were many other signs that Jesus worked and the disciples saw, but they are not recorded in this book. These are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing this, you may have life through his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Question that often occurs to us on this Sunday after last Sunday when the standing room only and the crowds, where is everybody? It's that strange phenomenon that we get at Christmas and Easter, that the great festivals packed and then back to ordinary life the rest of the usual Sundays. And maybe that's so for all religions, but always observe then when we see on our screens Friday prayers in the Arab countries, they often seem to be packed on every occasion, and even then mainly with men. Just a pause for thought. In C.S. Lewis's the book The Screwtape Letters, a senior devil, because it's about the devils and good, the devil suggests to a junior that the Christian soul can be brought down by a war of attrition. So he said, it's hard for these creatures to persevere. He says, routine adversity, the decay of hope, despair at not overcoming temptation. You know how often all of us go into the confessional and say, same old sins, Father, as if we've never moved on. We do move on, but we don't always see it like that. All in a way, slowly eroding faith. And then best of all, of course, says Screwtape, is a good dose of reality, like shocking reality, like a violent or a sudden death. That can make his Christian religion and his Christian, that all his religion's been a fantasy. In other words, make us doubt. And C.S. Lewis was writing from personal experience. He married in fairly late middle age and not married long and his wife Joy died of cancer, and he was reeling from that shock. And he considered for a while that his faith was like a house of cards, so easily tumbling down. And he wrote these things. Are the things I'm believing only a dream? Or do I only believe that I dream them? Because as believers, people expect us to have answers when really often what we seem to think we get is just another set of questions. But you always remember what I'm always saying to you. There's always an answer to every question. Always comes back to Jesus. But in a way, what Screwtape's saying, what the others are saying, what this day always brings to us is that place of honest doubt, and that doubt is not necessarily a rare experience. It's something we often, and at different moments in our lives, we go through. Is it all fantasy? Is it all, is it a pack of cards just tumbling down? We often question, is God real? Is what our faith real? Is what we read in the scriptures true? And a bit like Thomas, but we can't do it in the same way, we often want some concrete evidence, unless. Because Thomas wanted something to support what he felt was a preposterous claim that Jesus was alive and well. Because it went against everything he'd experienced in the few days leading up to it. He'd seen that Jesus tortured almost to death by the brutal Roman soldiers. That was even before he was crucified. He'd seen the soldier pierce his side to make sure that he was dead. He knew Jesus had been sealed in a tomb with half a ton of slab stone blocking the entrance. Dead people just don't walk out of places like that. And of course, we can understand, in a way, Thomas's confused and distressed state of mind. But in that state, he missed. He missed certain things because he'd seen Jesus do impossible things. He'd seen people that had been healed, that were well again and could walk again. He'd seen thousands fed from very meager, five loaves and two fishes and all that. He'd seen people raised from the dead, Jairus' daughter, the widow's son at Nain, Lazarus. He'd seen impossible things. And yet, like all of us, the doubts are all there. And even the 12, he can't even trust their word. But then would you? Peter had denied the Lord, having said, even if they all do, I won't do that, Lord. Judas had betrayed him. They'd all forsaken him and fled. And so he can't trust their word unless. Now, we might be tempted to say to him, silly man, you should really understand. But that's not what Jesus did. The impression I get from the Gospels that Jesus very gently comes to Thomas. 8 days later, they're all gathered again. Peace be with you, Thomas. Look, here's my hands, because he knew what was going through his mind. So here are my hands, here's my side. Come and do what you said you wanted to do. And invites him to believe. And draws then from him, my Lord and my God. I think the first thing I want you to take away is that Jesus was gentle with the unbeliever. So are we called to be patient with those in our families, with those in our friends, with those maybe that we're working alongside, that maybe just manage once or twice a year, or even maybe less than that. Maybe those who are full of doubts, maybe those still searching, not knowing where they are. People confused around. And it's gentleness and patience and mercy, divine mercy, merciful to people, not harsh and condemning and judging. But Jesus didn't judge, he just invited faith. Because it's a reminder that we're always in the loving, gentle hands of a loving, merciful, compassionate, and unchanging God. That's what we need to hang on to. And so that when our own faith is shaken, in the way that Thomas didn't, remembering those great moments that when he had seen God, as it were, at work in Jesus, we too need to capture those moments when God was so real to us. There are times in us when we remember, we're so moved by certain things, and remembering those times, remembering the gifts that God has given us, remember the goodness that he's always looking down on us. Or look back to the scriptures. There's very strong words at the end of St. John in that chapter we had. These things are written so that you may believe, to strengthen the faith that you have. Or think of the lives of the saints that through the centuries can't all have been mistaken. And it's a year ago today, liturgically at least, on this particular Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday, when John Paul II, Blessed John Paul II, was beatified. But he wrote that by the age of 20, he said, I'd lost all the people that I loved. He'd lost his mother by the time he was age 9 years old. He'd lost his older brother a few years later, who was a doctor to scarlet fever. It's finally his father to a heart attack, and he could have written, but he didn't, that by the time he was 20 as well, he'd lost both his country and his freedom as the Nazi blitzkrieg swept into Poland in 1939. But far from doubting those early losses in his life, he regarded them as providential. That's what he wrote. He said, God was preparing me for what would happen. My father was the person who explained to me the mystery of God and made me understand. And he said, even now, when I wake at night, I remember seeing my father kneeling, praying, and his teaching me about a God who's a suffering Lord, with wounds in his hands and his feet and his side, but a teaching about the risen Lord, in whom we can have the greatest faith. We are those that Jesus said, happy are those who have not seen and yet believe.